a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us every Thursday right here, always a pleasure. Chris, I wasn't planning on starting our conversation this way, but I was noticing Purdue is requesting that Coach Jeff Brohm, the head coach, who was under quarantine due to COVID-19, have a phone during the game, during their Big Ten opener. I'm just guessing they're not going to get that approved, but has anybody else requested something similar that you know of?
Well, we haven't had...
Not many.
No, I'm not aware of, to be honest with you.
Right.
I don't know if anybody's requested. We haven't had that many.
Right. Jay Norvell's probably, or Coach Norvell, sorry, is the most notable.
Norvell and Nick. Yeah. So Nick was,
Coach Mike.
You know, when he was out, for
right.
a couple of days, I'm sure that they were looking into that as to whether that would be possible or feasible. But and that's one of the things, you know, that having these type of issues covered is something that's a little bit new in this situation. But I can tell you that I don't see any way that's going to happen.
I got a call right before the top of the hour break. And again, maybe not where I planned on going. But this Ole Miss Auburn game, Auburn looks a little unstable right now. Am I reading too deeply into this?
No, they're playing very frustrated football. And you know, the issue is a few things. They have no real identity. So their defense is not able to stand up and kind of carry them for a series or two and get them off the field. As much as they normally do, and they lost a lot of players there. They have no consistency with the run game, and so they're trying to become more pass game oriented, and it's not working. I mean, they don't really, you know, Chad has done a good job in his career, but, you know, as they're trying to hang their hat on the pass game, they've not had as much time, well, nobody said the offseason to do it, but I think in this case, it's really hurt them. So when you look at them, they have no sophistication in their passing game, and they're trying to hang on it to a whole lot. And then, you know, Bo Nix is trying to put it all on his shoulders. Well, when that happens, all you do is you get mistakes and you get turnovers like it was last week where it was really a disaster for them. So, and that's leading to frustration, you know, and you hear the sideline people, what, they're fighting? And well, they're fighting because, you know, well, you're supposed to be running the post corner. No, I was supposed to. I read this. That's what happens when people say not on the same page, you're not reading it the same way, and there's just not enough clarity to what you're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't really matter if the quarterback knows it, if the receiver doesn't know it, and making side adjustments. So they're definitely having a problem, and the difficulty is going to be, and Ole Miss played very poorly offensively last week. I mean, just sloppy, out of rhythm, turnovers, poor in the red zone. But I would expect them to rebound this week, and if they get some early points, Auburn trying to play from behind is a bad formula, and this could get really ugly. But this is why I think it's an important game, because the storyline here is about Auburn and Gus, because we're several years into that whole everybody's frustrated with Gus talk.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, will let you know how you can get all of his information. Tennessee's an interesting story. The offense has imploded. The quarterback situation continues to be controversial. And I don't understand the timing of this. Of course, I'm not there every day, Chris. But they run off their somewhat newly hired defensive line coach. Kind of weird. What's going on there, in your opinion?
Well, Jimmy Brumbaugh's situation has anything to do with the game Saturday or the play of the defensive line. It's more of, and I think this is important to identify this, is there are problems there in terms of lack of harmony on the staff, lack of vision of what we need to be doing overall. You know, Jimmy was hired mainly because their defensive coordinator had a close relationship with him, as did Jeremy. And for this to go sour that quickly, it is because they're not seeing things the same way overall as a program. That's the most concerning thing. Because, look, you can fix certain problems on the football field. If you're not in agreement in how it needs to be fixed, that's a big problem. So that's the biggest concern there. And, you know, it's not, well, the defensive line's not, well, that's not issue. It's the problem, as is perceived by the head coaches, you know, we're not seeing things the same way. And when that happens, the head coach always wins out. The issue there is we've seen it with coaching hires with Jeremy, and that's been a problem with him, by the way. He's not being able to identify the right type of people that are the fits for him. Look, there's not good or bad. It's a lot of good fits, and he hasn't been able to identify the right fits for him. I mean, he's run off. Guys have left, you know, quite a few of them, and in this case, this is a sign of one of the crucial decision-making process of a head coach is identifying the proper fits from an assistant coaching standpoint, and so that's a real concern there. Look, Jeremy's trying to build a program like Georgia, and, you know, you can only marginalize the quarterback position so much. It's great to be able to try to focus on recruiting, and you have to do that regardless which style you're running. But the running game and the great defense, but you've got to be able to score some points. And in order to do that in today's football, you have to have enough balance. If you're so run-oriented that you're not as good in the passing game and people can slow down your running game, you've got nothing you can hang your hat on. We've seen that with Georgia at the highest level, and at Tennessee, they're not nearly as good as Georgia. So that's how you get run out of a game against Kentucky. When you turn the football over and you get 14 points, now you're behind, and I don't think they're doing a particularly good job. The quarterback is very limited, and you got to know what you have there. And I think some of the play calling is asking that quarterback to do things he's not capable of doing. So they've got some issues there. I expect them to fight and play hard, but, you know, it'll get ugly this week, obviously, who they're playing.
We've got a couple of games of data, Chris, but this Alabama offense, is it too early to hyperventilate by comparing it to last year's LSU team or a couple of years ago, the Alabama Tua offense?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's too early, yeah. I mean, but at this point, it's every bit as good. There's no discernible weakness in studying them on film. The offensive line is outstanding. They can run outside zone. They can run power. They've got great receivers that can make plays after the catch and beat you deep. They can attack you in man coverage with crossers, in zone coverage. They do a great job of sitting and facing and working back to the quarterback. So it is, as we saw it last week against Georgia, their defense on the field too much and just got torched, you know, by an offense that's just better. And the other thing is the quarterback is not only accurate, but the best thing he's doing is his poise under blitz pressure. He is setting the protections. He is not getting rattled at all. When they will slide and leave a guy unblocked purposefully to get, knowing that the ball's got to come out extra quick, He's doing a really good job. And on top of all of that, it is not all about talent. They have great scheme and great way to attack you. So it is the entire package. We need to see over the entire season if they stay healthy and put up all the numbers. But to this point, it's got every element that you want offensively.
Chris, you just touched on it. I was about to ask you or suggest, Sark is having a very good year, isn't he?
Absolutely. And people, well, it's easy to have a good year with all that talent. No, no, it's not. I mean, it's easier. You can do a lot of things, but look at what he's done. Look at the touchdown that they got Georgia flipped up on. That was great play design out of the bunch set that got Georgia crossed up. They do a great job of it's not just calling plays, but it is teaching. The ability, the teaching route running, the ability to be able to identify and side adjust with receivers being able to understand coverage and to stem their routes. Like, it's the biggest thing that jumps out. So you're watching tape and you're saying, well, what's the difference, you know, in theory of, say, a Georgia offense and an Alabama offense, where everybody would say, well, the quarterback. Well, yeah, the quarterback's one of it. But when you're watching Georgia's passing game, you're seeing, like, Georgia had a touchdown called, and I thought they had some good play design in that game. But there's a post corner that's just not as sharp to the corner. And it's all about milliseconds, and they just weren't real sharp. Alabama has all those things down to a T. So they've got more talent, more explosive talent, more reliable pass-catching talent, but they're so well-coached in the passing game. They're so well-coached in the run game that combination with the talent there's not a defense that's going to have a lot of success. They're just going to have a bad day, and I think you got to pick your poison, and I think you need to play a lot of zone, and you got to do the best job you can limiting the run after the catch, because that's, you know, you make them go on 8-play drives, 10-play drives, maybe there's a tip ball or something bad happens, but they'll beat you over the top if you're going to play it aggressively. Man, they are really, really tough.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. More Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I'll let you know how you can get all of his information. He's adding to it every day, college and pro. Nothing more thorough than what Chris does. I can promise you that. Omni, Nashville. Hotel.
Good morning. The police are gathered up on the scene of an accident at Stewart's Ferry Pike and Hickory Place. That's in Donelson on the west side, trying to wrap up that crash from earlier, 7600 Blanca Highway 70. It's picked up quite a bit now on Briley Parkway here, coming past County Hospital Road. All that traffic flow coming down through Bordeaux right now. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, now through November 1st. All the fun details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Napa Know How. At Napa, you can buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $27.99. And as a bonus, you'll score a $10 gift card by mail-in rebate. That's like a cherry on top of the cherry on top of your oil change. So get $10 back by mail when you buy a jug of Mobil 1. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/20.
NFL Network.
Let me hear you.
We're all here for football.
That is how we start the show, baby.
We're here for the Thursday night throwdowns.
He is the guy that makes everything go.
Sunday morning breakdowns.
Nobody saw it coming.
He's got it!
And all the inside lowdown.
He is ready to go.
Your team.
I think he is a great target.
Our team.
The best wide receiver in the NFL.
Every team.
This is epic.
NFL Network, we're here for football.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. Arena of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 615-844-5600. The Bill King Show.
Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his info. We were talking about this a little bit last hour, Chris. Big Ten play starts Friday night, full slate on Saturday. Will it be kind of sloppy like we've seen this year? Tackling wise, etc. And game ones any year, I guess, can be sloppy. I understand that. But maybe because of protocol not even being as physical as you typically would be in practice.
That's what I'm anticipating. And it's just normal. It's right. Just really abnormal to be sitting here. And it's almost, we're closing into November. And it's just weird that it's the first week. And, yeah, it is something that is important. You know, everybody will think about it, and I've thought about this, not just week one, but, you know, you get into the season, you get, you know, we've got, let's say, by example, like 4 weeks of SEC ball, and you got, gradually you're starting to see some of the identity of the teams. By the time they start to figure out their identity in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, it'll be like, and we're going to wrap it up this week, you know, I mean, it's not –
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, and everybody just thinks that, well, you know, they're going to be fresher at the end of the year. That's true, but maybe you're not have accomplished all of the things that you want in terms of getting all your packages in. So, no, I think it's going to likely be a little sloppy, and but everything's relative, and, you know, like we said before, at least we got football. So it's going to be interesting to see. Got some interesting games that it's kind of worked out, hasn't it? The SEC slate is not as stellar as it normally is. And the Big Ten, you know, kind of gets center stage this weekend.
Coach G up in Wisconsin, he's a big Badger fan, says, ask Chris what the term running back by committee means. We're not familiar with that in Wisconsin. He says, I'm not sure why the Badgers are getting all the preseason rankings without an All-American running back. Lost our best receiver to the NFL. We've got a brand new quarterback, and our best linebackers are now playing on Sunday as well. Chris.
Well, as you know, I'm sure that was question was in jest. Of course it is.
Right.
Having multiple backs that, you know, it really is identifying that you don't have your feature back, but also depending upon your offense, you have somebody that's maybe a little bit more fit on early downs and some that's a little bit more fit on third downs. My view is I always wanted a feature back that had more versatility because you kind of are dictating by personnel on early downs. If you've got the runner that's a good blocker, you're kind of tipping off that you're probably going to be more running on early downs. And then, obviously, on third downs, that guy got to be a good pass protector. And so I wanted to have, in by committee, I wanted to have guys that were versatile. So I wasn't dictating from a personnel standpoint. Look, Wisconsin does develop. They recruit good backs, but they develop it very well because they develop the running game well. So that is the reason why they always have good backs, because they have good line play, good line men, and that creates a lot of good run creases and that's why they have them. It's like great passing teams usually develop good receivers, quarterbacks. Wisconsin is a running back factory, and when you do that, you can tend to get good backs, even though they may not be the highest graded star guys. They usually get really good ones that are good downhill guys that can hit the hole hard, get to and through the hole quickly, and then they have build-up power that can get you good second-level yardage with speed and quickness.
Jason says, Bill, ask Chris, is it possible that Tennessee can run the ball well enough to stay in the game versus Alabama?
I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it comes down to defensively. Yeah, I mean, you can run the football for a quarter or two, but if your defense gives up explosive points to that offense that we just talked about last segment, well, what are you going to do down 17-0 in the third quarter? You're not running the football. That's what happened last week. So the answer to that question is, A, you have to play a clean game if you're Tennessee. You can't help the cause. I think they're going to want to run the football, absolutely. But how long can they stay engaged in the game? Look, they were in the game against Georgia at halftime. Why? Because, A, they made a couple of big plays, but B, Georgia wasn't able to explode on. And, you know, so as long as it's a one-possession game, then you can stay committed to the run, and you can have some modicum of success in the passing game because you're running it through the run game. Even if you're not running play action, you can manipulate numbers in the box that way because you're having success running and you're committing to running. You're not fooling anybody when you're down 17 or 21 points in the second half. You're throwing it first, and that's where the game could separate and likely will. So I wouldn't hold up a lot of hope that they'll be able to run for very long. But if their defense can hold up somehow and Alabama plays sloppy football, then that'll allow them to run the football longer. But I wouldn't count on it being that successful. But I wish you well.
Coach Marshall says, ask Chris, will a couple of weeks off help or hurt Vanderbilt against Ole Miss a week from Saturday?
Oh, Lord, Coach. It depends on how many novenas they can say in a couple of weeks. That's a mess there. I don't. Look, there's always the chance with the week off you can regroup. I don't think it's ideal to have that extra time now, but this is not a very good Vanderbilt team. I know Coach sure knows that. I think what you can do is spend extra time. I mean, I think you got to try to frustrate Ole Miss. It's what Arkansas did very well. But if Ole Miss is sharp, then it's going to be an ugly game in which they'll be able to score a ton of points. I will say this. I think you can run the football on Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has played good situational defense or better last week. But I don't know that Vanderbilt will be able to take advantage of that Ole Miss defense enough. I just don't think they'll be able to match points regardless how much time they got to prepare.
What about Florida's situation?
Oh, man. That's a mess because you got now a big layoff, and I know that they had the upset in A&M, and, you know, imagine if they had won it and it'd be unbeaten. I mean, it's kind of like it's almost a derailment of a season. You know, trying to get – I mean, it is now enough to where you're going to have to really work some semblance of – like a mini, and I'm talking a mini training camp. You're going to have to get your guys timing, and I mean, it is like a huge, you know, and offensively, they're so explosive, they're relying upon that, and that's where your timing can be lost. So it's just a mess. You don't know, who you're playing, when you're playing. It's you know, not going to be able to get back until Monday at the earliest. That is definitely the team that, at least among the upper echelon, that's probably had their season disturbed to the point where it's going to be tough to overcome it. We'll see how it plays out. I just don't know how you deal with it right now.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Penn State at IU. Does that have a chance?
Yes, it does. I think it has a chance to be a really good game. I think that Indiana will be able to move the football. I think they've got Fillers, a really good receiver. I think they've got a very tough offensive scheme to prepare for. I think they'll play well, and I think they'll give Penn State the run for their money. In fact, I got the breakdown up on Landry Football, and I do think it's going to be a pretty close game. It is the most intriguing game of the entire Big Ten. I mean, I want to see everybody play. Well, that and Michigan, Minnesota, I will say. And then outside of that, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and a little bit Cincinnati, SMU. But Penn State, Indiana is in that upper echelon of intriguing games for me. I think Penn State will win it, but I think it'll be a challenge.
Chris, tell everybody about all your information they can get.
LandryFootball.com is the hub. That's where you can find our TV network on Twitch, which is really taking off big time. We've got affiliate status and partner status with those guys. So we've had, you know, with some of the changes we made on the shows, it's really kind of kicked us up in high gear. So we're really excited about it. You got football programming. I'm getting ready to do a podcast at 9 a.m. Central, the Landry Football Podcast. You can check that out. I've got the SEC podcast, one for every conference. I got my Scouts Eye podcast, so you can catch all of that. You can catch it in podcast form as well if you can't watch it live. And then, obviously, the hub of what we do is take you inside the film room, break down these games, break down the players, the teams, the coaches, the schemes. We give you how the players graded, how the teams graded going into the games and the previews, and then after the games, we grade them on film and how it graded out. So you want to know in detail why they're having problems with the offense at Tennessee or in Auburn or why this is happening. We kind of go in and tell you what the film says. So it's like having your own scouting department or coaching department for less than $10 a month. Actually, it's less than $5 a month if you take advantage of the year membership. So check it out today, LandryFootball.com. You're going to love it.
Fantastic as always, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, bud. Take care. Bye-bye.
There he is, Mr. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We are officially clear the rest of the way. For the next hour and a half, we can just hang out. And I would say, let's try this picture, this metaphor. It's a boat. We've taken the sails down. We don't engage the motor. And we're just going to let the tide take us where it wants to take us this next hour and a half. Now, it will be college football centric. Don't misunderstand me. But we'll just float around and see the direction it decides to go. Those are some of my favorite moments on the show. I love that. I love no plan. Yeah. Planning is overrated. I love the no plan. That's where we're about to go. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still looking pretty decent right now through Mount Julian as you make your way down I-40 westbound. Coming out of Wilson County into Davidson County, 4,000 block of Lebanon Pike. They're still over there working that particular accident. Stewartsbury Pike at Hickory Place should be cleared up in Donaldson in just a few more minutes. They got one more vehicle to move. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, all the details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For this morning, sunny with a high of 84, mostly clear tonight, low 63. Friday, a chance of showers, high 81. Chance of showers tomorrow night, low 57. Saturday, cloudy, high 70. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
Ron up in Ohio on Twitter. Big Nebraska fan, lives in Ohio, says Bill. Nebraska will score more than 30 on Saturday in the Buckeye game. However, Ohio State won't punt and will score over 60. O-line best in the country, and Nebraska D-line replacing three NFL guys, and linebacker happens to be their weakest position. So they're going to get their points, according to Ron, but they're going to get doubled up because the Buckeyes will get way more points in that ball game. I don't know if I think they're going to get 30, but it's going to be. I'd say it's going to be a track meet. Now, could it be a little rusty in the beginning? Maybe. Sure. There is nothing you can do that duplicates the game, the real game. Practice is very important, but practice is not a game atmosphere. It's just not the same. So there's a bit of a transition, but the Buckeyes have players who have done this, and it's a program very familiar with winning ball. So I can't wait to see it. Whatever the outcome is, however competitive or non-competitive Nebraska is in that game, I'm just ready. I'm ready for Michigan and Minnesota. I'm ready for Penn State and IU and all these games. Just like the SEC and all the other leagues we talk about continuously here on the show. Let's just play ball. I don't care who's in the stands and who's not in the stands. I don't care much about schedule inequality. I just don't care. I don't care about bad targeting calls right now. Targeting has been a nemesis of mine from the beginning. Can't stand the rule. It's not even a thing for me right now. I'm just thankful we're on the field playing. I mean, notice, I have you heard one significant rant out of me about targeting? None. Usually every year I huff and puff like a child over targeting and how unfair the rule is and how ridiculous the rule is. Haven't said a word. It's just, I'm not faking it. It literally is not a bothersome note for me right now. I'm just happy to be out there. Yeah, I'm just happy that we're getting some ball. I'm not worried about, even though we talked about it a bit, what's the committee going to do weeks down the road when some leagues don't have as many games as other leagues? We'll get into it. We won't dodge it, but I'm not worried about it. I just want to play ball. I'm just happy to be playing ball. Alan, what's up? Welcome in, sir.
Hey, Bill. I tell you what, Chris said something that I feel like I've come to realize over the past few weeks, and I think somebody with his keen eye saying it on the radio just vilifies what I'm thinking. When he said that Tennessee is asking Garantano to do something that he's not capable of. And I think that says it all right now. And I tell you what, I think the kid's a good kid. I think he's a good teammate, even though I think he puts out negative vibes sometimes with his body language. And I think the other guys like him. But I tell you what, it seems to me like that's their own fault that we're in this position, that we should have analyzed this situation long before he's a fifth-year senior and done something to over-recruit him and get somebody else in there. What's your position on that?
I agree, because here's my many years of studying college football, and in this specific situation we're talking about, quarterback, at some point you become what you are, right, as a player. What you are performing as, your ability level, your mistakes and your good plays will teach us what you are. Garantano's game and his ceiling and his level of play has been identified for over 2.5 years now. And it's like the staff either can't see it or doesn't want to see it, or they're just stubborn. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And like I said, I don't know how many other staffs would put up with quarterback play like this. You go with the youth, and you take your beating with the youth if you have to. You don't stick with an ineffective old quarterback. You don't.
That's the way I see it, Bill. And I think that this week, I think they're gonna probably go with him, and maybe the two sophomores. Personally, I think both of the sophomores will transfer out, because I don't think either one of them is the answer. And I think Bailey will start getting playing time after the bye week, and I think that's the writing on the wall. Is that your analyzation?
Wouldn't surprise me. They also know recruiting. They got the Texas kid coming in, who's pretty highly thought of too. And that quarterback room is going to be too busy. So, yeah, I would think if your goal is I want to be on the field playing, and your Shrout and your Maurer, even though, look, I'd like to see more Maurer. I know he's had some injury issues and some off-the-field items that have been a problem for him, and certainly wish the best there. But I like what I saw out of him in general terms a year ago when he got a shot. He just couldn't stay healthy. Kept getting beat up.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Bill, the kid out of Texas, I know in the Elite 11, he turned some heads, so we got some real potential there. But I tell you what, in my opinion, the kid up at Martin, Ty Simpson,
yeah.
I think there's the answer. And I think we just got to bring this kid in and convince him that he is the answer and get him into the Knoxville. That's my analyzation of the situation. Bill, talk about Sarkisian. Whatever happened to his lawsuit against Southern Cal?
I don't know. That to me, it's unclear. I don't know if that's been resolved. I haven't heard a thing about that in years, frankly.
Well, I tell you what, to cause the embarrassment the guy has to to Southern Cal and then go about it suing them for wrongful termination. It's kind of funny in a way, but it kind of tells you who we are here in 2020. But this guy must really have a tremendous football mind on him, or else he wouldn't be working for Saban. Would you analyze it that way?
Sark is, with every game, with every play, shining up his resume to be a head coach again. Yes. And now he's got some behind the scenes items that when he interviews, they're going to want to know about. But as far as his production on the field, running an offense, and yeah, he's got a lot of talent to work with. I hear people right now chirping about that. He's got a lot of talent. You still have to do it. You still have to put it together. You still have to make it work. It's not as easy as just roll the ball out there. You guys put the ball in the hoop. It takes organization. It takes knowledge. And he's doing well. Yes, I agree.
I tell you what, Bill, I'm going to leave you with this. Just a little prediction. I'm afraid that Gus's situation at Auburn is kind of going to come to a head in the fairly near future. Wouldn't that be something if Sarkisian ended up going to the other side of the state? And I'll let you comment on that.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. I'll throw one in there. What if it was Hugh Freeze back in the SEC West? Now, again, what if? I'm not sure Auburn's in the mood to be buying him out right now. Not sure about that at all, but that would be interesting. Here's an article. Actually, it came out yesterday. And Gator Brandon brought it up this morning. Karen just brought it up, too. And I've seen a few others say, hey, Bill, what about this? Now, this is from KentuckySportsRadio.com. And they're not just some random blog. Kentucky Sports Radio is very popular up there. But put this under the category of speculation. I have not heard either way on what I'm about to read you. But this is from KentuckySportsRadio.com. A source close to the UT program, Tennessee, tells KSR, that's Kentucky Sports Radio, that Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt fired assistant Jimmy Brumbaugh during the game on Saturday. Pruitt let Brumbaugh go while the game was being played. The official announcement of the firing did not come until the day after Sunday, when Pruitt said that from a philosophical standpoint, things are just not a fit, and it just didn't work out for us. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. I haven't heard either way, but let me put it this way. During the break, let me send out a text to somebody. And if this person is looking at their phone and not in meetings, not in film study, this is a coach, then we'll see if I get a reply. I didn't really think much of it. I saw it yesterday, and I didn't think of it enough to chase this down. But let me check. We'll see. We'll see if I get something back. We've still got an hour and what change on the show. Take the break. One more break. Hour number two. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're looking live at this crash here, blocking one lane of traffic on I-24 eastbound at Harding Place. It's starting to slow here in this area. That's 24 eastbound at Harding Place, but the heaviest flow of traffic, obviously, is westbound. All that traffic flow coming out of Rutherford County up through Davidson County here, but the crash is 24 east, again, at Harding Place. Checking on a wreck, Briley Parkway near 24, McFerrin and Main Street. That's a stalled vehicle being moved as we speak. Celebrate autumn at Obrey Gatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit ObreyGatlinburg.com.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, we've teamed up with AAA to save you 20% online or in store. That's why they call us the Savings Dream Team. Okay, we're the only ones calling us that. But it's true. Your AAA membership can save you 20% at Napa. So we're basically superheroes with the most specific power ever, saving you 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
20% off regular retail prices with valid AAA membership card. Offer ends 10/31/20.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Scott, the most important question you're going to get all day. Do you remember bumping into me at Whole Foods about 4 years ago?
What?
Do I remember 4 years ago at Whole Foods? You know,
just say no. It's that fine.
You probably thought it was Derek Mason. That's the Vanderbilt football coach.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Biscuits, Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Yeah, it's good to have Don Thomas on. Last hour to talk a little Michigan and Big Ten. I tried to get Dave Biddle Bucknuts, his site, 24/7 Sports, a very popular site. Known Dave for a long time. He's been on the show hundreds of times. Just said he was too busy. Couldn't get him on, so we'll get him. We'll get him. Maybe next week, but he'll be back. Dave Biddle from Bucknuts does a fantastic job, to say the least. Yeah, I just sent off a text. Let's see what kind of reply I get. Kevin on Twitter says, Bill, according to VolQuest, which is Brent Hubb's site, Brumbaugh was fired Sunday. And Hubbard, Brent Hubbs, does a good job. Known Brent for a long time, too. Now, could it be that Brumbaugh and Pruitt got into it during the game, maybe at halftime? That happens. Yeah, I mean, that can happen. a coach and another coach have a disagreement, it gets heated. That's not exclusive to one place. That can happen. That's somewhat common. But actually, you're fired. Get the hell out of here during the game. I mean, I guess if you're fired during the game, there's really no reason for you to be staying around, right? You just sit there in the press box, or what do? I don't know if Brumbaugh is in the press box or he's on the field during games. I don't know that either. Is there any video of him during the game, like second half? Or now, I could see Pruitt is a very – you may not see it on camera, but Pruitt is a very volatile guy. Can be volatile. And I'm not saying that's totally negative necessarily, but I could see some sort of verbal confrontation. Absolutely. Royal Ping checking in this morning. And this is in reference to what if Auburn made a change. I don't think anything like that's pending at the moment, but they don't look like a happy football team at all. And we were suggesting, what about Hugh Freeze, or what about Sark, or what, just, you know, names that are popping up. Royal Ping, Bill, don't forget about the Will Wade, Bruce Pearl NCAA issues that are still out there. That can affect football if they get lack of institutional control. Auburn would be poking the bear if they hired Freeze. I get it. Now, you know, you folks know I've got a horrible bias when it comes. I'm a Bruce Pearl guy. Yeah, I love me some Bruce now. I hope nothing happens. I don't think anything's going to happen to Bruce. All right. People have been sending me this, too. Yeah, Karen, of all people, Karen sent this. I've seen this quote several times. Karen sends it again. To keep sending it until I make a comment on it. Nick Saban being interviewed. He's asked about the role of Butch Jones on the staff there at Alabama. Here's the quote from Nick. Ready? Get ready, everybody, for your third grade level humor, okay? You ready? Quote, Butch is an off-field coach. He does things for me personally. End of quote. That's the humor right now. Butch is off the field. He does things for me personally. Here's another item everybody's sending me. It's Coach O in a picture with apparently his new babe. It's a blonde who looks... Coach O is about... What is he, about 60? Late 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. Maybe mid-50s. So not old, but not young. You know, right there, kind of like me. And he's in the picture. I mean, it's just him. I think they're, I don't know if they're laying in bed. That's not pornographic, no. But it's Coach O with a blonde. And she looks like she's probably, what would you guess, 30, 35? So a young babe. And Coach O won the natty, and then shortly thereafter, there was an announcement that his longtime marriage was ending. He was getting a divorce. That's certainly his private business, okay? But everybody's sending me this picture that's on Twitter, and it's Coach O with the new babe, the blonde. And she looks young and fit. It's just a picture of her face. It's not any, nah, don't even try. Don't try it. Just her face. I think it's from the shoulders up. She's smiling. She's with Coach O. They're happy. He's got lots of money. He won a natty. She probably sees security. She loves his voice. Loves the way he talks. Loves that Cajun thing, man. I love the Cajun thing. I've been thinking about turkey gumbo after Thanksgiving for like a month now. That's an annual ritual that we do. It's wonderful. It's better than Thanksgiving food. Turkey gumbo. And I like Thanksgiving food too. So yeah, there are a couple of them there. Okay, I don't know if you heard that ding. That was a coach. And the text I sent out during the break, is it true Pruitt fired Brumbaugh during the game? And got to remember, this report came from Kentucky Sports Radio, which is a well-known entity up in Kentucky. Very popular. The reply from the coach, Brumbaugh is real close to the Kentucky staff, and the report basically came from them. So I'd say yes. He never liked him and tried to fire him after the Missouri game. Wow. I hadn't even read this yet. I'm just literally reading this to you. Anonymous coach now. I'll read that last sentence again. He never liked him and tried to fire him after the Missouri game. All right. So not only was it not refuted, the story got added to. Hour number 3 coming up. I don't know if we can beat that right there.